Acts 13, and let's start at verse 16, and we'll go through verse 23. It says, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelled as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed have God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the wonderful singing. We thank you for the powerful praying of Deacon Jeremy and Brother Jake. And we ask right now, Father God, that the message would go out. All of us have a testimony. All of us have a testimony. All of us are going to die with a testimony. God looks at all of us, whether we're saved or unsaved. And he's going to ask us, what's our testimony? What have you done for me? Why should I let you into my heaven? We need to have a testimony like David. Every man or woman of God should have the same thing said about them. I found a man or a woman after my own heart. Precious Lord, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I use that verse so much. When I'm preaching and I talk about David so much, I always talk about David, a man after God's own heart. Or David was a man after God's own heart. Or how God loved David because David was a man after God's own heart. And I caught myself saying it the last time I preached. I'm like, maybe I'll explain what that meant. What does it mean to be a man or woman after God's own heart? What's that filled with? What's that look like? What's that sound like? What should someone see if you say, I'm a man after God's own heart? Actually, if you say you're a Christian, if you say you've been born again, then you are, whether you are or not, you're telling the people, I'm a man or I'm a woman after God's own heart. How about that? What a wonderful compliment when somebody thinks about you from now on. From this day on, someone think about you. I seen a man after God's own heart. How about that? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about introducing yourself to someone and they say, you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. And then you add this on. You say, I'm a man after God's own heart. Will we put ourselves out there like that? Why? Because folks going to be watching us. Is there a difference between a Christian and a man after God's own heart? And y'all know what I say all the time. Everybody's a Christian. Okay? Okay? You go out to the Ohio State Fair, and you stand outside the gates of the Ohio State Fair, and everybody come out, 90% of them, you say, you believe in God? Yes. Are you a Christian? Yes. Everybody's a Christian. It's almost cool to be a Christian. But what is a Christian? What made David a man after God's own heart? How about that? Let me give you a list of things. David loved the word of God. Amen. I mean, you tell me you're a Christian. You have to have a love for God's word.
Amen.
And David did. David said, "Oh, how I love your law." And you hear the passion in that. In Psalms 119 and 97, David said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." All the day. How about that? Let me keep going with this song. Through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Isn't that something? What happens to the person? What happens to the man or woman who's not wiser than his enemies? See, we look at scripture like that, but David said, the scriptures, the word of God has made me wiser than my enemies. The church ought to be wise. Amen. The church ought to be wiser than the world. Thought I heard that when Jake was praying. Listen, the world going through. Amen. The world going through. We're going to talk about a little bit of it, but the world going through. You ever talk to your lost friends and you listen to their struggles and you listen to what they're going through? And that word in you gives you peace and gives you comfort.
Amen.
Knowing that if everything go wrong, this world can't take away your hope. This world can't take away your faith. This world can't take away your joy, because you got something the world don't have. And this is what David is saying here: through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies. You know what? David's enemies didn't know the Lord, and they said, "Listen, come what may." David said, "I'm going to be with the Lord." That's what he told. That's what he told his little boy. When his little boy passed away, David said, "I can't be with him. I can't do nothing now." Okay.
Amen. Amen.
All right. I'll see him again.
Amen.
He says this in verse 99. Watch this now. This is what the word did for you. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." Let me tell y'all something. I know you in here saved. Let me tell you something. And I know Jill go out there at Boardman School. She got there at Boardman School. They got all the highfalutin teachers that don't know nothing about the Lord.
That's right.
The fact that you know the Lord is your Lord and Savior, you know more than all your teachers.
Amen.
Okay? You know more than all your teachers, and they ain't going to like it. Listen, I know Jesus, and that's why they don't want nobody talking about Jesus. Okay? You can go to schools. You can go to school. You can wear anything you want to. You can wear all your LBG clothing, your colors. You can wear your Tupac shirts. And you can wear everything, but you can't wear Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? And you walk in there with a cross on and John 3:16 across your shirt, and they're going to call you to the office. David loved the word of God. Why did he love the word of God? Somebody say, why did he love the word of God? Why did he love the word of God? Because, see, the word of God was David's divine protection. How about that? Has the word protected you?
Amen.
You ever had the word protect you? You want to say something, you want to do something, you wanted to go there.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen? You wanted to go there, but something held you back.
Yes.
And then you say to yourself, if you think like I do, if this come out of my mouth, is it going to give God glory? Okay? Is it going to give God glory? If I do this, is it going to give God glory? See, that's how God's word gave David divine protection. Watch this. Now, I always try to support what I say with the scripture. Well, in Psalms 119:11, watch this now. This is a great verse. And you hear me say great verse all the time. Because it is. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid down in my heart. Y'all stay with me. Now, I listen to the news anymore. You can just get on your phone and it'll pop up. And somebody said, I don't know if they said it, but all the murders in Chicago. All the murders in Chicago, they had a preacher on there. And then it always gets me when the preacher get on there. And the preacher get on there, and then we need to call the president. Call the National Guard. Vaughn preaching. You know we don't believe in women preachers here, but Vaughn back there preaching anyway. Like fire. Okay? Listen. And the preachers is calling the president. And I'm sitting here stupefied. Call the National Guard. What's the National Guard going to do? Call on Jesus. Amen. Somebody said something. Amen. Stay with me here. Amen. Now, I know this is a difficult book to find. But, see, you got to know the Word of God. You don't understand what's going on in Chicago. Because the Word of God makes you wiser than your enemies. Understand the Word of God. See, it's sad. Don't get me wrong. It's sad. And I'm seeing all these young folks dying. Okay? But it's sad when old folks die. See, to me, it's no different. You die young not knowing the Lord, and then I old not knowing the Lord. Okay? Amen. See, dead is dead to me. Amen. You can live 88 years and die not knowing the Lord and go to hell. And you can live 21 years and get shot and not know the Lord and go to hell. Okay? See, the wages of sin is death. Amen. It is appointed unto all of us once to die. And after that, the judgment. Now, God didn't say how folks was going to die. But folks going to die. Somebody said there's 1,000 ways to die. There was a movie, 1,000 ways to die. Okay? See, the bottom line is not dying. It's dying unprepared.
Amen.
See, the problem ain't dying young. Okay? Because somebody said the song, the good die young. Jesus was only 33. Okay? But know the scriptures. See, there's a consequence for the behavior. When we look at this world, we say, this world is messed up. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's messed up. And the Word of God does say in 1 Peter 3 that judgment must begin in the house of God.
Amen.
So when the preachers in Chicago, and they got some, turn their pulpits into entertainment centers, and the Word don't go out, And young people have abandoned the church. And y'all heard me say it a couple weeks ago. The music they playing now don't make you think about church. Okay? It don't make you think about church. It don't make you think about love. And that's filling our land. But look at Hosea. Look at Hosea chapter 4. See, Chicago got the same problem that Youngstown got. It's just bigger.
Uh-huh.
Okay? All right? See, folks are getting murdered in Atlanta. And they get murdered in Texas. Folks get murdered in California. People get murdered in Wisconsin, Idaho. Okay? It just don't matter. Why? Because we live in an evil world.
Amen.
Okay? See, when Adam and Eve sinned, they introduced murder into the world. And they tried to cover themselves with a leaf and some leaves, some flowers. And God said, no. What y'all done is only blood can cover it. So the killing started. And killing going to go on. Somebody say, is it going to get better? No. No. But understand this. Let me give you this verse. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear me now. Ye children of Israel. For the Lord have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because... Wait a minute, let me start over. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Chicago and Youngstown and Dallas and Memphis and California. For the Lord have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Now here's the problem in Chicago. And here's the problem in Atlanta. And here's the problem in Youngstown. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. See, that's the word of God.
Amen.
Okay? There's no truth. What is truth? God is truth. The word of God is truth.
Amen.
Okay? There's no mercy. Well, no truth, no mercy. God is mercy. Okay? Nor knowledge of God in the land. No, there's no knowledge of God in the land.
Amen.
Okay? This church is on every corner. It don't mean there's knowledge of God in the land.
Amen.
Okay? Watch this now. Think about the music our young people listen to. Think about the music these young people listen to. Watch this now. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. See, how many knew that was in the word of God? How many know them verses in there? That's Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Okay? Now, listen. You can't even buy. These young people ain't even buying nothing. If it don't have swearing on the cover, they not even buying it. It's not even selling. Okay? If you don't look at it, oh, that don't have no cussing in it. They ain't buying it. Okay? They're not even interested. Oh, does it got explicit lyrics? No explicit lyrics. That'll sit on the shelf forever. Okay? By swearing and lying, that's all they doing is lying. Snoop Dogg and them guys got bachelor's degrees and master's degrees. 50 Cent and them guys putting all this stuff out. They ain't sending their kids to school. The one guy said, I won't even let my kids listen to what I play.
Uh-huh.
He said, I won't even let my kids watch the movies that I'm in. Come on now.
Uh-huh.
But they poured into the communities. But our young people, watch this now. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. What's going on in the world? Why did David love the word of God? Why? Because it was divine protection. When people don't have the word of God in them, you're liable to do anything. Okay? I tell my co-workers and folks that work in the prisons with me, and they're like, well, how can this person do this? Or how can this person do that? I can't believe somebody would do that. Let me tell you something, I believe somebody can do anything.
Amen.
Somebody don't have God in their lives. When I wasn't saved, when I was just out there reckless, this was nothing I couldn't do.
Amen.
There was not a sin I couldn't commit.
Because
I had no God consciousness. I was totally unconscious, and I would have done anything Satan would have asked me to do. I'm just glad he didn't ask me to do certain things. Listen, preacher in Chicago, preacher in Youngstown, what's the problem? What's the problem? Call the president. Call the National Guard. Let me tell you something. Call Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his path? How about that? By taking heed according to thy word. What's wrong with our young people? Because no word. No word in them. They don't want no word neither. Listen. In Proverbs 7. This is Solomon. Wisest man ever lived. And he watching the young people. You ever sit around and watch a group of young people? You ever sit around and watch a group of young people? Go to a graduation party or something like that. Sit around and watch a group of young people. And you'll come to the same conclusion. And I'm at the gym. I see a group of young people. And I listen to their conversation. It's just reckless. Okay. Now I'm old school a little bit.
Amen.
I ain't come up with all that. I ain't come up with all that. Wasn't disrespectful.
Amen.
Respect your elders.
Amen.
Okay? Some folks still get mad at me. Yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. That's just it. It's just I'm indoctrinated with it. Okay? In Proverbs 7:7, so I've been watching a group of young people. And he said, I beheld among the simple ones. He said, I beheld among the simple ones. Watch this now. And I discerned among the sons. He didn't say the daughters. He said among the sons. See, the young girls, they're not here killing everybody. Well, young son, they stabbing up everybody now. They're going to stab and spree. But that's isolated stuff. Okay? But he said, I discerned among the sons. Watch this. What did he see? And this is what you see. A young man void of understanding. How about that? Void. You ever ask something voided out? You ever be in the checkout line and you tell them you don't want something, they already ran through the register and they got to call the other person, I want to void this out. See, that word void means useless now. Young people with no understanding. No understanding. How about that? Paul had the same issue. I'm gonna get back to what made David great, but Paul said this about these days. No word. You walk around here and you don't know no word. No interest in studying God's word, no interest in Bible study, no interest in reading the Bible, no interest at all. Okay? Here's what Paul says. This know. 2 Timothy 3. I heard somebody else say it today. Y'all say some stuff. You know, y'all be praying and stuff and praying and talking and saying some stuff. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Okay? Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. So this is the example of the, without natural affection. What's all that mean? Well, you know, you hear people say it all the time. People say, well, you know, when we was coming up, we could go outside and play all day, go outside and play. You can't do it no more. Why? Because there's too many men out there without natural affections.
Amen.
So you just can't send your kids outside and, you know, and play no more. Why? Because we're in the last days and there's a whole lot of men and women. I read more and more about female teachers teachers and stuff without natural affections. Incontinent. What do you mean? Incontinent. Sexually out of control. Okay? No ability to restrain themselves. Or abstain. Restrain. Abstain. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. I heard somebody say, well, preachers don't want to preach. Nobody, because if you preach the word, people are going to hate you. And folks don't want to be hated. A lot of preachers need their jobs. That's a job for a lot of preachers, so they don't want to get put out. So they can't say everything they need to say because they got to pay their bills.
Amen.
That's a shame. Sad. Thank God I got a job. I can get up here and say what I want to say.
Amen.
But you understand, David loved the word of God. You know what? Who came out of David's loins? Jesus. And you know what? Jesus, too, loved the word of God. See, if you're going to be a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart, then you got to ask God, God, give me a love for the word of God. Man, God will answer that prayer. God will answer that prayer. You might have to put your tablet down a little bit. You might have to put your cell phone down a little bit. But then, you know, God's going to answer that prayer. Listen, God, I need a love. I need you to give me a love for God's word. At least give me a half an hour a day where I can just open up the word of God and study. Now, half an hour is a long time. See, a lot of folks don't understand that. Reading the Bible for a half an hour takes some work. It's not an easy read. And we try to read it all. Just read one verse for a half an hour. Keep reading it over and over and over. And that verse will go into your spirit, go into your soul. Okay? And then you'll be able to say like Isaiah. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How about that? Yeah, how's your peace? See, the word of God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. See, our mind's on so much other stuff. So much stuff we can't do nothing about. There ain't nothing you can do about it. We was talking about it on Wednesday night, and somebody said, sin gets sick, you still going to Bible study. What am I going to do at the hospital with her? Okay? The IV machine go off, what am I going to do? Put the needles in her, I'm going to pray for her. I said, I got to go to church. She understand. God bless me with a good one. But if she got the word in her, you know what? She in perfect peace. Then why I had Teddy stand up last week. Teddy, just talk a bit about what you've been through. Okay? It's been rough. Been difficult. Been difficult for us. Imagine being in her shoes. But guess what? Thou will keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusts in thee. Okay? I couldn't tell my buddy this. Because he don't believe. It's hard for me to give scriptures to unbelievers. Now you got to go through this on your own. And maybe by this trial, maybe by this affliction that you'll come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Maybe God is taking you through something. Maybe you're going through some hardship or some crisis or something. You don't understand. Why me? Well, maybe God is saying, why you? How does God speak to us? Through the word. Through people. Through circumstances. That's how God speaks to us. You ain't going through nothing for nothing. Well, I'm going through. Remember when Jesus was going through? What did he follow? What did he rely on? The word. Here's Jesus in the wilderness, and it is written, it is written, it is written. That's all he talked about the devil. He didn't talk to the devil about nothing else. It is written. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. But how? By every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And what did Jesus say? For it is written, he shall give angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands shall he bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So if Jesus depended on the word, what hope do we have? What hope do we have? Okay? Oh, my goodness. You talk to the average Christian, and you ask them, how's your love for the word? How's your love for the word? They don't got an answer. Then you ask them, well, how you doing? You ask them how they doing, they got an answer. Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Some folks, you just got to say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Too blessed to be stressed. Oh, I'm blessed. Let me tell you something, folks. I looked at that word blessed. Let me tell you something. Blessed are those servants. I can stop right there because I got to highlight it. I got the verse highlighted. Blessed are those servants. Okay? See, the blessings of God are mainly for who? His servants. His servants. My mic went out. I'm going to holler louder now. Blessed are those servants. Watch this now. Whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. That's important. See, when the Lord come and he come for his servants, and what do servants do? They work. They serve. Okay? They work and they serve. And they go through. James. Wonderful verse in James. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations. Okay? What's he talking about? What's it mean to endure temptation? Okay? Go through it. Go through it and shine while you're going through it. How about that? You're going through it. Who in here going through it or been through it all? Okay? There's a way. There's an expectation for us as believers on how we ought to go through. There's a way to go through. Okay? You don't fall apart and quit. Now, so many people get a hell of adversity. That's why the church look like this. Is this church? Hey, listen. God put his hand on the church and everybody run away. Remember, I tell you the story about the soldiers came to the church. It was over in Russia somewhere. They came in. They had their machine guns. The church was full. And they said, you know, if you're not willing to die for the Lord, leave now. And boom, everybody disappeared. One row here. One row left. About this many people. They put their guns off, took their uniforms off, say, now we can worship God. See, we don't think like that. See, there's a way that we ought to endure temptation. But temptation comes to everybody. Okay? It comes to everybody. And we have to respond to our trials and our tribulations, our temptations. How? With the right spirit. With the right spirit. What I mean the right spirit? In a way to get God glory. And when the temptation comes, all you got to do is say, listen, first thing you need to say, Lord, give me the courage. Give me the strength to go through this temptation and go through this trial and to go through this adversity in a way that gives you glory. And you move from there. I'm going through and it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult, but I don't want to ever not give you glory in this thing. Ooh. No. Blessed is the man. This is what you say to all your blessed friends. In a church full of blessed folks that don't know nothing about the word of God. You talk about the word of God too, and they're all blessed and highly favored. But let's talk about some scripture. Oh, listen, we had a good time today. Oh, we had church today. Remember, I told y'all a story about the little boy. Little boy, come home. He come home, wrote God a letter. He wrote God a letter. He said, God, we had a good time in church today. We had a great time in church today. I wish you was there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Your blessedness is going to change your life. If you've been blessed by the Lord, you love the word of God is going to have an impact on your life. It's going to have an impact on your relationships and your friends and your affections and your desires. All that's going to change. That's why we say 2 Corinthians 5:17 all the time. Don't tell me about a salvation. Don't tell me about a belief that don't change you, that don't cause you to evaluate and examine your life and your friends and your relationships. Everything comes under the scrutiny of God when you get saved. Amen. When we just get saved and nothing changes. You know why that happens? Because nothing happened. Nothing happened. If you truly get saved and you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, things are going to change about you. You can't have an encounter with God and remain the same. Amen. You just can't. I know that's dogmatic, but it is what it is. It is what it is. It is what it is. Watch this now. I got this verse. I didn't finish it. James again. James 1:25. Watch this now. This person loves the word of God. It says, but whosoever look into that perfect law of liberty, that law of liberty, that word of God, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, okay, but a doer of the word. See, some folks hear it, like y'all hearing it now. You hear the word, and it go in one ear and out the other. And you hear it, and you say, oh, that's good. Oh, that preacher preached. Oh, that's a good word. Oh, that's a good word. But it's not going to affect what you do. Okay? You hear, oh, preacher, that was a good word. I walk out of here, oh, you preached today, that was good. Oh, man, I like that. But it didn't have no effect on your life. It didn't have no effect on your deeds and your doings and your comings and your going. It had no effect on your relationships and your affection, your emotion, nothing. James says this. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Watch this now, don't miss it. This man, singular, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's the word of God. That's the word of God.
Amen.
That's the word of God. This man, the man that's a hearer, not a doer, won't be blessed. And your friends that run around and telling you, oh, I'm blessed, child, I'm blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed and highly favored. Listen, tell you something. You ought to see something. You ought to see something.
Yeah.
Let me give you one more. No, I'm going to leave that alone. David was a man after God's own heart. What do you think? What do you think second? What do you think second? He loved the word. What do you think comes next? His prayer life. David loved to pray. He loved to pray. And I'm not saying public prayer. I'm not saying, okay, you know, I got to love to pray. I got to consider for everybody. You know, I can ask Jake and I can ask Dave and I can ask Claire and Jeremy at any time. Come up and pray. Sylvia falls in that category. But because I don't ask you and because you're not comfortable doing it, don't mean you don't love to pray. You ought to still love to pray. Amen. Okay? You ought to still love to pray. It doesn't say, well, David prayed in front of a lot of people. The Bible doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Pharisees did. They went to the corner. They went and made a big show out of it. You would love to pray. Okay? And pray in your quietness. And pray your way to church. And pray your way home from church. And pray as you, whatever. David said this. David said this in Psalms 116 and 1. He said, I love the Lord. Okay? Because he have heard my voice in my supplications. Because he have inclined his ear unto me. Watch this now. Watch this now. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. What a statement. David said, I will call upon the Lord as long as I live. Can you say that? And what he's saying is, come what may. It don't matter what's going on in my world. Saul could be chasing me with spears. I could be hiding in a cave. I could be starving. I could be on the run. I could be waiting on my kingdom, which God promised him. And he waited, 13 years? And he never stopped praying. He never stopped praying. And I believe even his sin with Bathsheba, David was still filled with prayer. And I believe that Nathan, when Nathan came and confronted David, might have been the answer to David's prayer. It's hard for me not to believe that when I read Psalms 51. David wanted to get off and under that. Watch this. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going. Because there's so much about David. You know. Out of all the people in the Bible, God revealed David's life to us more than anybody's. Okay. We know all about David. David was he's the most talked about man in the Bible, David. Okay? Let me give you this verse here. Prayer. And this is why I say public prayer, speaking in front of people, that's not what it's all about. What does prayer do? Prayer brings us close to God. When we pray, we come close to God. It brings us close to God. This is why when you sit here and pray, and you can sit here while Jake is praying this morning, we in a circle, just pray to God. And you want to pray to God, God, come close to me. You want God close to you. Amen. Who doesn't? What child of God don't want God close to you? Amen. And the reason some of this stuff happened to us is because God's so far away from us. If we could have God close to us, who wouldn't want God close to us? David prayed because God came close to him. Watch this now. Psalms 145. He said, Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. In truth. Listen, David prayed. He wanted God close to him. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God, you're a child of God, you're a man of God, a woman of God, you want God close to you. You want God close to you, okay? Well, you know, I do some, you know, it don't matter. I want God close to me. I want God close to my marriage. I want God close to my children. I want God close to me. And how do we get God close to us? Through prayer. Through prayer. Through prayer. Jesus was a great prayer warrior too. Jesus loved to pray. We don't think about Jesus as a prayer warrior. Jesus loved to pray. When Jesus would be healing folks, and he said, I got to go. He went up to the mountains and prayed. Why? What did prayer do? What did prayer do for Jesus? Gave him strength. Gave him courage. Gave him power. You know, it was a press wave. What did we talk about this morning? Somebody brought it up. We talked about Jesus at Gethsemane. Okay? He took Peter. The Bible says he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little farther. The Bible says he went a little farther. And watch this. And fell on his face, fell prostrate, and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. Listen, folks. You're never closer to God than when you're praying. And somebody said, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, you know what? Pray. God, teach me to pray. I think Jake did it when he prayed. Teach me to pray. That's what the disciples did. You know, you got to be a learner. Teach me to pray. The disciples was bold enough to ask Jesus. We can ask Jesus. We got it right in the Word of God. Luke chapter 6, I believe. Matthew chapter 5. You want to learn to pray? Read the Psalms. Read the Psalms. Read the book of Psalms. Y'all remember on the cross? Jesus, what was he doing on the cross? Praying. In his most difficult times, and when he was in Gethsemane, and on the cross, he prayed. On the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Now, he got two thieves listening to him. And, you know, I always say, we wanted the two thieves. We ain't Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? We wanted the two now. We wanted the two. Father, unto thy hands, unto your hands, I commend my spirit. Now, one of the thieves responded. One of the thieves responded. He said, if God is your father, that makes you his son. I'm just thinking like a thief. And you going back to be with your father, what did he say? I'm talking about the deep on the right. And one of the malefactors was going to hang railed on him saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. I hope it ain't none of y'all him.
Amen.
But the other answering rebuked him. Man, you out of your mind. Don't you see what's happening? Does not now fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? Now watch this now. Your prayer life affected other people. You pray around your kids, your kids going to grow up praying. You pray around your kids when they see you in adversity. And then you're cussing around your kids because they're going to grow up. And when they get in trouble, they're going to cuss.
Amen.
But if you're in trouble and things are going down and your kids walk in the room, see your knee, what you doing, mommy? I'm praying about this thing. Okay? See, back in the day, we had some praying grandmothers. Okay? Yeah. We hardly get on our knees anymore. And kids don't see us on our knees, and they don't see us praying. They don't see us calling out to God. They don't see it. If they don't see it, what they? We call the congressman, call the senator, call the governor, call the councilman. Call Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? Here's the thief on the cross. He sees Jesus praying. And he said, we indeed, justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. Ways of sin is death. But this man hath done nothing. Now watch him pray. Now watch him pray. Here's the thief going to pray now. See, some people, I ain't been a Christian long enough to pray. If you've been a Christian for 30 seconds, you've been a Christian long enough to pray.
Amen.
Okay? Here's a man on the cross. He's been a Christian for 30 seconds. And you know what he says? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into what?
Thy kingdom.
Remember me. What a simple prayer. What a simple prayer. What a simple prayer. Well, how's our prayer life? And I'm going to stop here because I really want to talk about David's praise. David was a praiser. He praised God. But I'm not going to go there. I'll wait till next week. But watch this now. How's our prayer life? How's our prayer life? Think about Paul. I know I'm not the only one with things going on. Look at Paul, Philippians, the book of joy. Y'all know this. Y'all know these verses. I know most of you know these verses because they've been in us for so long. But Paul's telling the Corinthian church. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let everybody know you're a Christian. Let everybody know. Let everybody know you're a Christian. We said so many people that don't want nobody to know they're a Christian. Oh my goodness, don't want nobody to know. They found out I'm a Christian. They're going to kick me out of the good boy club. It's good to get kicked out of stuff. Some stuff you need to be kicked out of. Some stuff you need to be kicked out of. We really don't understand that. We need to be kicked. We need to be given the boot. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known, be made known unto God. In the, watch this now.
Yeah, thank you.
You make them requests known.
Yeah.
God hear it. We got to go to God correcting me. Say, God, I got some issues here. They too big for me. But I know it ain't too big for you. You handle this, and I'm gonna go about my business. I'm gonna put it in your hands. And the peace of God, and the peace of God. And people say, well, I'm watching you, girl. You've been going through. Your husband ain't no good. Kids ain't no good. You going through. How do you do it? Turn it over to the Lord. Turn it over to the Lord. Watch this. In the peace of God. How about that? P-E-A-C-E. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through what? Christ Jesus. Knowing what Christ Jesus did on Calvary's cross, knowing that God died to save our souls, should give us peace. Should give us peace. Now the question is, do you have that peace? I talk so many saved folks don't know peace. There's a problem with that. That's problematic. How could you be saved and not have no peace? And I'm not saying you can be saved and not have no problems. I didn't say that. But you can have peace in your problems. Okay? You can have peace while you're going through. Okay? One man sang the song, I'm going to grow. He said, I'm going to grow through this valley. Okay? He didn't say, I'm going to go through this valley. The Bible said, we're going to go through the valley. But he said, I'm going to grow through this thing. When you have adversity, look at it as an opportunity to grow. For a child of God. Because you got to be, you can't grow without God putting something on you. You can't grow. And we don't want nothing on us. We don't want no weight. You know, we don't want no weight. And I tell y'all, y'all like the folks come to the gym. They don't put no weight on the machine. Don't put weight on the bar. They just... and 15 years later, I'm watching. I was like, you ain't grown none. How can you even tell your wife you're going to the gym? You know, if I've been going to the gym 30 years and I come back and I'm still a string bean, Cindy going to say, well, you ain't going to no gym. And if you going to church for 30 years and you ain't grown none. And if I say, well, turn to Genesis and you looking in the New Testament. See, we got to grow. Let's grow. How do we grow? First, we got to get God close to us. How do we do that? Prayer. Then we got to have some knowledge of God. Then we can understand what's going on in Chicago. And then when we turn on the news in Youngstown and all this craziness going on, we can turn to Hosea 4:1-2. And they say blood touches blood. Why? Because there's no peace in the land. There's no knowledge. There's no truth. There's no knowledge of God. I mean, what do you think? Go to one of them hearings and listen to these folks talk to each other. They cuss out the judge. You didn't kill three people. You go in there. They have to take the boy's mouth up. He cussing the judge out. Why? No truth. You know, I mean, this dude have no reverence for God. When a world that God created has no reverence for him, what's he going to do? Oh, they shoot up in the school. Everybody's scared the school's going to start. Because you know they're going to start shooting up the schools. Somebody plotting now. Oh, I'm going to shoot. I'm going to be the next big banger. I'm going to shoot up the whole school. Why? Can't pray. Go in there. We went to school and pledged allegiance to the foot of.
Amen.
Not no more. You don't even mention God. If the teacher mentions God, they get terminated. And then they wonder why the devil running the school. What you think the devil going to do? He running the school. Kill, steal, and destroy. He going to shoot up all the schools. They didn't kick God out. Devil running the schools. I don't care what nobody's saying. I'm not talking about, you know, the public schools and the Catholic schools. Y'all have to go to Catholic school. Listen, devil running that. He been running that. He's just a more peaceful devil. All right, I'm gone. Let me turn off the thing before I get in trouble. They mean to come and board it up the church. Can't be talking about the public schools. I understand, you know. Kids going to have to go to school and they don't bulletproof vests on. Well, David had was a man after God's own heart. Okay? And we have to be people of God. And if we call ourselves people of God, we have to be people
Amen.
That God has that same testimony.